At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Good evening, White Sox fans. It is Wednesday, August 13th, and you are listening to the latest edition of the Future Sox podcast known as Hot Takes and Heaters. My name is Danny Miller, the young whippersnapper sitting next to me on your screens, tickling your eardrums and In your fancy, if you please, is my co-host as usual, Mr. Jacob Thome. How you doing tonight, Jacob?
Good. Glad you said eardrums.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's family show. Let's keep it fairly clean. But yeah, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Yeah. I apologize if my eyes are a little red and I'm a little out of it. Just within the last few moments here before we started, my wife and I had to make the decision to say goodbye to one of our furry friends here in the next couple of days. So it's just in the last few minutes, man, things have kind of happened, and you know, it's, you know, unfortunate, but she's old, she's been sick, she's been struggling, and she's going through it. So, you know, time to say goodbye. But she was our first dog together. We put down two last year that were about the same age, so she made it a year and a half or so more than the other ones. But, yeah, sad time. So she's the dog that's always with me on the show here, actually. I'm going to pull this down really quickly. She's actually, she fell behind the Yahtzee, the White Sox Yahtzee ball there, but it's my girl Penny.
Oh, my gosh.
She's, she's on the struggle bus, so unfortunately, she kind of gave me the look earlier. Oh, she don't want to stay up. It's kind of the problem she's been having around the house here lately. She gave me the look earlier. I just knew. So, anywho, sorry to start the show off on a bad note, but you know, like I said, just bear with me. I'm a little out of sorts here at the moment. So, anywho, man, you know, other than that, I had a great week since the last time we talked. I don't know if you saw, but I threw some pictures up on the old tweet machine. Spent the day on Saturday with a buddy of mine. He owns a 65-foot yacht, 1965 yacht that refurbished and rehabbed, and he's a mechanic, so he worked on the engines, got it all back together after it sat in dry dock for a long time, and now we've been cruising it for the last few years, and got a chance to hang out with him and spend a day up and down the Chicago River and out on the lakefront and caught some fireworks at Navy Pier. So that was cool. Anything new and exciting with you, brother?
Started a new job. Getting on to that.
Yeah, I knew that. That's what I was waiting for.
On-air job in Decatur. So if you're in the Decatur area or nearby, I'm struggling, by the way. Check it out. It'll be on 106. They just changed the numbers. 96.3. The Fan, ESPN Radio, so indicator. So shout out.
Good for you. What
time? Get on the air for a while, but it's kind of how this all goes. But yeah, excited.
What's your time slot for the show?
I somehow muted you. I don't even know how I did that, but
hello.
Didn't hear what you just said. I can hear you just fine. No, I hit like the mute button on my computer.
Okay. No, I was just asking, what time slot are you on for your
audio? Oh, I get to choose.
Really?
I don't get there till 8, though, so I'm thinking lunch. Thought is either 11 to 2, 11 to 1, but yeah.
No. What kind of show are you going to be doing?
Anything. It's the nice thing is the show didn't exist before me. I was brought on as like, if you can sell it, you can do it.
Hey.
So I'm going to sell it and I'm going to do it. Dag nabbit.
Good for you, man. You,
yeah, excited.
If you ever, need a guest, man, you know, hit your boy up.
I'll have you on. Believe me, I need plenty of guests.
So yeah, really quickly, I just want to address the chat. Thanks guys for all the thoughts. I appreciate it. It's definitely tough. And yes, as some of you have said, pets are definitely family. Yeah, we got this one when we basically moved in. It was about a year after we moved in together. So yeah, she was our first dog together before we even actually started dating. We were actually just roommates at the time. So yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. But I appreciate all the thoughts, and you know, it means a lot. But I don't want to dwell on it too long. Like I said, I had an emotional moment right before we got on the show. So my eyes might be a little bloodshot because I was definitely shedding some tears, and tough to come to that decision. But, you know, sometimes you got to make that call. It's, you know, one of those things where you just feel like it's probably best. So, but yeah, you know, we'll deal with it as that time comes. But we do have a best day ever planned for her on Friday. I mean, you know, hopefully we can get her to the, you know, sometime at the dog park. She struggles with getting around right now, but we're going to take her to the dog park one last time and, you know, let her go sniff all the old haunts and butts. And, you know, when she looks like she can't take that anymore, which probably won't take long, we'll probably do the pup cup and maybe take a ride out by the lake, or maybe even out by the campground and playing field area, and, you know, let her do her thing there before we say goodbye. So yeah, much appreciated again, guys. This is a White Sox show. Let's move on to some baseball, shall we? But so since we last talked, Jacob, the White Sox have kind of gone on a little bit of a slide, right? They were the hottest team in baseball after the All-Star break. Just looked like world beaters. We're beating, you know, early on we thought, oh, they're just beating some weak opponents. But then, you know, they ran through some really good teams as well. And in the last couple series here have been a little bit tougher. So kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight. And I just wanted to get your thoughts first and foremost on, you know, what it is that you maybe have seen in the changes of, you know, how things were going when it came out that they were going to attack the fastball more often and they were putting up a lot of runs. And, you know, what do you see in this little bit of a slide that they're having right now?
Yeah, I mean, the offense just isn't there, right? And I think, you know, when it comes down to it, it was going to be a struggle. I mean, everybody kind of saw the ups and downs, and then you lose Chase and you lose Miggy. For, you know, 10 days on the IL, you know, Colson Montgomery can only carry this team so much. So, yeah, it's been tough. I don't know if it's unpredictable, though. I mean, I think everybody kind of expected it. You know, they've played three really good teams these last three series, you know, in the Mariners, Guardians, and Tigers. You know, those are two of those teams are the hottest team, or I should say the Mariners are the hottest team since the break. Guardians are right up there with them, and the Tigers are still first place team in the AL Central. So, yeah, it's tough. I mean, we'll see what comes around. The pitching staff has still been impressive, in my opinion. I think they've you know, let up some stinkers, and we'll talk about Cannon and, you know, some of the other guy for a little bit. But, yeah, I think just offensively, I don't think that was sustainable. So, kind of back down to earth. We'll see what they can do against a lesser opponent, still a quality opponent in Kansas City here, starting Friday.
Yeah, they will be going to Kauffman on Friday for a Kansas City series. And I'm glad you brought up the fact that you know, Chase and Vargas have, you know, been down and out of the lineup right now. Because, you know, honestly, I don't think that the offense has struggled that much, except for maybe the last couple of games where they put up, you know, zero runs today and only one run yesterday. But, I mean, there's been some games where they've put up some runs, still lost. But they weren't putting up the same kind of numbers they were when they had both of those guys in the lineup. And I just wanted to kind of point out a little bit that the chat's getting fun and interesting. We're going to get to some of that stuff here in a little bit. But, yeah, I think what you see a lot of these days is, you know, White Sox fans are kind of split a little bit when it comes to guys like Vargas and, you know, Chase Meidroth even more because, you know, Chase Meidroth obviously isn't a big power guy. You know, he's sitting on, what, I think two dingers for the season right now, maybe three.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to hit for a ton of extra base hits, but he finds ways to get on base. He's kind of scrappy, you know, plays solid defense. But the one thing that he does is he's got a great eye. He gets into pitchers counts or hitters counts, excuse me. You know, even if he's not walking, he puts himself into places where he's seeing more pitches. He's not, you know, allowing pitchers to just get in there, get them out and get them in and get them done and get out of an inning where they're not throwing a lot of pitches, which helps get some bullpens. But the thing is there, I like to think of it like this, like for the folks that don't think that he's all that, I'm not saying he's some superstar stud, right? He's not a stud in any means whatsoever, but he's one of those guys who as a table setter and a fun team guy, which we've heard, you know, many times already this season where everybody talks about how, you know, Chase is the guy in the dugout who's hyping everybody up. He's the guy that gives everybody a pat on the back. You know, he's out there yelling and screaming and you know, encouraging guys. He's also a guy who, if you look at second basemen across the league, there really aren't a ton of second basemen who are doing big things in big numbers, right? You can say, yeah, he's not super awesome. But on this team, you immediately notice when he's not in the lineup, right? We've seen the last 10 days the struggles that this White Sox team has gone through. And you know when Chase Meidroth isn't there. You know when Miguel Vargas isn't there. Neither one of them are putting up huge monster numbers. Miguel Vargas has improved on his season last year, you know, over the year this year. But when they're not there, it makes a big difference. And that says something to me about, one, chemistry, and two, protection in the lineup. When you got guys that are scrapping and opposing pitchers know it, regardless of what their actual numbers are, and you got guys that are pumping up the dugout and keeping the energy flowing, it's a big deal. So, you know, say what you want about guys like Chase and Miguel, but to this White Sox team, they're huge assets. So, I think that was a big part of what we were seeing over the last 10 games or so here, where, you know, they're dropping a bunch of, you know, I would say winnable games, games that they were in. They weren't really blown out, you know, in most of these games. So I don't know what you feel about that, but I think when you brought those two guys up, that was a huge part of what we've been watching.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, the Sox can have an interesting issue with that little Venezuelan guy. Shout out Lenin Sosa, because, you know, it's really hard to keep him away right now. It'd be nice if they could figure out a way to just, like, merge Chase Meidroth and Lenin Sosa just together. You know, if you can just take all the strengths of either of them, I think you might have
Get the Sosa power and the Meidroth defense
and plate discipline.
Inability. Yeah.
Yeah. you could just merge those guys. You'd have a great player. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. For Chase, I think, you know, I think a big part of it has just been the emergence of Lenin Sosa and everybody kind of wondering, you know, all right, is he the, you know, definite future that they have at second base? And that's a question mark, I think, for sure. You know, where does Lenin profile? I don't know. You know, it's a tough defensive profile. But I mean, I don't think just because you're high on Lenin, you need to be down on Chase. I think both of them can play with a decent amount of playing time, whatever you find a space for those guys. It'll be nice to have Chase back. It'll be, you know, he'll go back to his normal spot at the top of the lineup, or behind Talkman. when they normally do it. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a definite notice when he's not in the lineup. You can kind of tell him and Miguel as well. But glad to see at least one of those guys back, and Chase should be back soon.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it is what it is. It's difficult to kind of put your finger on one thing at the moment. Because, you know, as you said, pitching's been fairly solid. But then again, we also are only have four real starting pitchers in the rotation right now, which is kind of forcing the White Sox to do these bullpen games that we've been seeing lately, where we've got starters that are coming out. Yo injuries yesterday, and God, who was it the day before? How am I drawing a blank? I thought it was going to be Anderson, and then they switched it out.
I sure get the start in that one. I know he pitched. Oh, Pugero.
Yes. Who?
Elvis.
Yeah. And he looked good for the first inning and then kind of faltered a little bit in the second. And, you know, it was tough. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is when you have injuries on both sides, you're going to lose some games, right? And any other thing, too, here is you got to wonder if they're pressing a little bit knowing that they are missing some guys. So in the chat, David, I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of a break here because I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. But is it Raka? I don't even know. Like, if you can give me a hint,
I guess.
Yeah. Give me a hint, man. Give me a sound it out for me in the chat. But David says, today the team was too hungry to hit, and they let the starter slide with 50 pitches over six innings, which is too low. Too much chasing today. They need to get back to controlling the strike zone. And you know what? You kind of got to wonder if that's exactly what was going on in a game like today where, you know, you were on the winning side of baseball for the better part of the second half, except in going into these last couple of series. And all of a sudden, things kind of taper off, and you gotta wonder. Guys are—they're just pressing. They're too eager to get that you know that offensive muster going again. You know what I mean? They're trying to muscle balls out of the ballpark, or trying to strong arm things through the infield, and maybe just pushing a little bit and pressing. And it, you know, who knows? But you definitely, the one thing that I noticed in the last two series before this one against Detroit was that they were still stretching out at bats. And in the last couple games here against Detroit, that kind of tended to go away. Like, they were chasing out of the zone, and they were, oh, that was a nice potato. He looked like you've been hanging out with Willie Nelson and Cheech and Chong. You froze up for just a half a second there looking. Well, anywho. So, yeah, I don't know. Just a thought, but I think it's a good point out by David. So,
yeah, I think also when you're missing Talkman and Chase, I mean, those are your two guys who really, you know, take long at bats. When we're missing those guys at the top of the zone or top of the lineup, I think it hurts.
So, and it's, you know what? It's funny. As you're saying that, I wanted to bring up exactly what 13 Dove Man is saying in the chat. Sorry. Simpsons reference for you there. Dove Man. But 13 Dove Man says, Chase better heat up. Gonzalez hitting at AAA and will be ready by 2026. Sam Antonacci flying up the minor leagues as well. I'm going to wake away for Bonimer Carlson, 2026 number one pick. You know, I don't want to get into the second half of that conversation just yet, but I do want to talk a little bit about the first half of that, because Jacob Gonzalez is, you know, after struggling pretty hard last year for the better part of the year, and now this year, I mean, it wasn't until he moved into AAA, he's all of a sudden doing some things with the Knights. And you almost wonder about that too, where it was like, maybe was he feeling stifled? Was he getting stale playing at a level where he didn't want to? Was he getting bored at playing? You know, did he feel like he needed to move up? Now that he's moved up, he stepped up his game. I don't know, but have you had an opportunity to kind of look at some of the numbers that he's put up since being moved up to Charlotte, which I think it's only been like 15 or 18 games or something at this point, but
yeah, he's been hitting it really well. I mean, even he had a good stretch in Birmingham, right? I mean, kind of looked like he got that torpedo bat and he was on the way. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes up. I mean, I'm still a little bit worried about the power. He does have 8 home runs this year. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting ride to see what they do with all these middle infielders. They just traded for another one in Curtis Meade. I do think there's going to be movement to the outfield. I don't know who's going to move, but somebody's going to have to. I mean, you've already seen it with Brooks Baldwin, a guy who just you knew could not stick in the infield with how many infield guys they had. And I don't know if Gonzalez is going to be that type of guy, but I mean, they're going to have some interesting decisions in the middle infield. And, you know, to bring up the second half, like those guys are really coming. Like those are top 100 guys. And I think Sam's going to be there any minute now. Shout out Chatham, Illinois. But yeah, it's a fun time here looking at the middle infield future.
Yeah, going to get crowded. It's seemingly quick in the middle infield. You know, there with Colson playing the way he is, and I know a lot of people are suggesting that he's probably going to have to make the move to third base. I don't know. Honestly, it seems like the logical thing to do. But at the same time, for as big as he is, he's super athletic. And people want to kind of ding him on his defense a little bit here and there because it hasn't been spectacular. But, I mean, he's minimum league average. He's a heck of an athlete. So I don't know if they move him permanently to third base or not. I think some of the shortstops that you see get drafted this year are obviously a couple years away. And none of them are anywhere close to where Colson Montgomery is at the moment. I mean, this guy is, you know, if for all intents and purposes, probably the top three hottest hitters in baseball since the All-Star break. And maybe even, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to go that far. But, I mean, you know, he's in the top three in just about every offensive category right now, or at least the ones that matter when we're talking about, you know, home runs, RBIs, hard hit, barrel rate, you know, all of these things, exit velocity, all that stuff. Like, dude's just mashing. So, obviously, if you have somebody who is going to come up and that's the only position they can play and Colson can play third, sure, you can make the move. But I don't know that that's the all-in-all, be-all, end-all plan for the White Sox. It's very difficult to say at this moment, but we shall see how things play out. But, yeah, the middle infield probably going to get pretty crowded over, you know, maybe as early as next season. You know, right now, second base is kind of one of those places where, you know, we have some guys who can move in and out of there, and none of them are particularly perfect, right? You know, Chase is great defensively. Lenin's got big power numbers. You know, I don't know. You know, do you leave Chase at shortstop and get Sosa in at second base as often as possible? Like, there's so many things going on in that infield and so many different plays that you can make. Will Venable's got some decisions that he's got to make on a daily basis and try to figure out how to keep this team winning and get all the bats in the lineup. But you know, come next season, it's going to be probably even more difficult to figure out where guys are going to go.
Yeah, and I mean, you also, you know, Brian Ramos has had a good month in Charlotte. Like, there's another third baseman to add into the mix. And then, like, you have guys like Bergola who are still, you know, considered a top prospect in Birmingham. So, like, you know, and the chat mentioned Lodice. Like, he could fly. Jacob Parrish is a sixth-round pick. Like, pump the brakes. But, like, you know, there's some interesting moves to be made soon on the middle infield.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Dubman brings up Kyle Lodice, you know, again, I think he's probably profiles more as a corner, but you know, that's just me. and, you know, could potentially put up some power numbers as well. There are going to have to be decisions made next season for sure. The other thing I want to talk about is I notice in the chat that a couple of guys have brought it up now is the torpedo bat. You know, have you heard about this where it, you know, so Colson had, I guess, one torpedo that he came up with that he switched to. Apparently he told the team that he felt a little bit weird with it at first, and they were like, just go out and swing it. And, you know, lo and behold, he's out there hitting 10 dingers since the All-Star break. But the crazy thing is after he broke that bat, he hit two pretty big shots in between, by the time, you know, in between the day that he broke that bat and yesterday when he got the new bat, or 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whenever it was when he hit the Concours shot. He had a couple home runs in there. So, I mean, I don't know if it's, I won't say that the bat doesn't help him, but I wouldn't say that his power is fully dependent on that. Obviously, you know, it's going to help him with barrels, which I think is what's the idea behind most guys using it. You know, they're obviously hitting the barrels, but whew, I don't know, man. You know, Jacob Gonzalez being switched over to that, maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, I mean, Colson's a fun example to look on Baseball Savant because you can, like, see the torpedo bat working, or at least the idea behind it. So his launch angle sweet spot, right? So that's his plane through the zone, is insane. He's currently in the 95th percentile, but his square up percentile is at, like, 5. So he's having a really bad issue, like, squaring up the ball, but he's through the plane really well. He's just not squaring the ball up on the right side. And so I would assume that's what they're trying to do. I mean, it's very clear. Like, he's getting beat inside on those breaking pitches. That's where they're moving the barrel down to. And that's where he put one on the concourse with. But yeah, I mean, that's really been the big thing for me, is like watching him, you know, take every single mistake to deep right field. I mean, that's just, it's been pretty impressive to watch. For a young hitter, just making the most out of pitcher mistakes, because he has done just that. I mean, he has put some balls deep in right field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know much about the torpedo bat. I haven't done a lot of homework on it, but, you know, the guys that are finding success with it swear by it. So,
yeah,
you know, and I remember, you know, early on, the beginning of the season, people were like, wow, this is kind of weird, but obviously, within the rules, the guy that designed it took the specs directly from the rule books and kind of made some tweaks to, you know, what we all knew as a traditional bat, and came out with this bowling pin. And, you know, some guys just don't like it, right? It just doesn't feel right to them. Probably not really made for their swing planes and the way they, you know, they square up on pitches. And they, but the guys that do, the guys that have the right swing plane and the right, they just have the a good enough eye to put the sweet part of the bat on the ball more often, you know, and then that's a skill set all in itself, is being able to put the fat part of the bat on the ball as often as possible. You know, so you hear it all the time watching a broadcast. It has to be like, oh, that's a squibber, hit it off the end of the bat. And some guys have a tendency to do that more often than others. Guys, a lot of these are guys that are big power hitters, you know, that they can reach out across the plate and go out and get those ones that maybe are not hitter pitches and still do something with it. Guys like Colson, man, he's just got that skill set where he can put the fat part of the barrel on the ball just about any time he wants to. So, yeah, I think it's probably pretty important to his game right now.
Yeah, it's been a ride to watch. It's also cool to see, I mean, the Sox having the analytical capacity. That's not going to work. The analytical process to recognize that, hey, this might work for some of our players, and it's actually, you know, coming through. So shout out Ryan Fuller and the other staff. I know it's not just Ryan Fuller. There's a bunch of analytical staff that have been brought in the past offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to just take a second here to kind of go back with some of these stuff in the chat. Tossed, good to see you. We haven't said hello to you yet tonight. One of our regulars in the chat, he says Gonzalez was a bad pick from the beginning, to be honest. And I, this is one of the few times where I'm not going to agree with Tost. Usually we're on the same page, but I don't know that if he was a bad pick. I think he's just gone through some struggles. If you look at early on, he played pretty well, you know, and obviously it's easy to say when you're down in the A's, you know, low A and high A, you know, obviously the competition isn't quite as tight when you start moving up the chain and you start going through some issues. The one thing I will say, though, is Birmingham is notoriously difficult to hit, especially for power. I mean, it's just a big park. The ball doesn't fly really well. So a lot of guys struggle there. You know, if you've got big power while you're in Birmingham, you're probably going to have power just about anywhere else. Although, obviously, you're only playing half of your games in that park as well. So, yeah, I understand why you could say he wasn't a great pick. But then Dubman points out that he wasn't under slot, which helped us get Walco and Christian Apor. So, Opper, Christian Opper, I you know what, I always struggle with his name too.
We'll figure it out when he gets here.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, that money saved obviously does help out a little bit. But, you know, the thing is his profile has always been higher than what he's shown, at least, you know, the last couple of seasons. And I think now what we're seeing is he's obviously, you know, gotten to AAA where the best of your coaching is probably going to be there right before guys are coming up to the majors. I should say best of the minor league staff is going to be there. Sergio doing his thing down there with the guys and keeping guys motivated. And, you know, it's just, I think you're going to start to see the true Jacob come out. And then as it was pointed out, he's also switched to the torpedo bat as well. So we'll see how that pans out. But I'm not ready to write him off as a bad signing just yet. And quite frankly, with the middle infield that we have been seeing this year, there's no reason not to give him a shot, at least, you know, in a competition with the guys that are here now and the guys that might have an opportunity next season as well. So, yeah, I'm not ready to pencil him in. I'm not ready to write him off either. So, and then the next question is we can talk a little bit about this, but Toss also brings up a great point. What do you think about Braden Montgomery being moved up to the number one prospect in the system over No Schultz?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough, right? Because I think Noah's had a disappointing season, but I think Noah's disappointing season is because of things that are out of his control. You know, like they've taken away his two best pitches, and I'm not calling out MLB Pipeline, but like I don't know how deep those guys are going into it. And I'm genuinely not like hating on MLB Pipeline. Like those guys, those writers have to keep track of like so many different players. Like,
thousands.
I don't know if I don't know if they're going in depth on like, oh yeah, Noah's not using his top two. You know, they're probably looking at ERA or watching film or whatever, but they're probably not, you know, realizing that. You know, I'm not worried about Noah Schultz. I'm really not. I don't know. I have faith in the guy who's 6'7" and throws as hard as he does with that slider and everything. I just believe in that. And in terms of Beaumont, like, I think it's awesome, right? I mean, like, he's going up the boards, I believe. I think he was in the 40s last rank, so he's getting moved up, which is good. You know, I think he's slowed down now that he's hit Birmingham, which is to be expected. Tost, you're more mature than that. I know you are. And that joke would have flown. I know that flew right over Danny's head.
What's that? I'm sorry. Did I miss something in the chat?
His most recent comment. I'm not going to explain it. I don't even know if explain it. Anyway, where was I? Just going back into it. No, I mean, he's had a disappointing year once he's gotten back into it, right? But I still believe in him. I think he's a five-tool guy. So, yeah. I would personally rank Noah Schultz higher. I think he's the better player. He's got the higher ceiling, but yeah, not mad at it at all.
Yeah, you know, and that's So here's my thought on it. One, it says a lot about Brayden Montgomery, right? And what the so-called experts think of his ability. Because to be able to go past, you know, Schultz and Hagen and do, you know, and perform well enough to where we were in a pitcher-heavy farm system, especially with some of the graduations this year, you know, now with Colson, probably going to lose rookie status here shortly. I mean, you're talking about a guy who is showing out enough to pass up two of the guys who were ranked as some of the top pitchers in baseball in the, you know, at least as prospects are concerned, early on this year. Now, granted, both of them have had some struggles this year. And I think part of that is the White Sox organization is kind of babying them this year. Like you said, they've taken away two of their pitches. They've got them focused on certain things. They're limiting innings for both of them as well. So, you know, I don't know.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
How much I put into, you know, him passing them up, other than the fact that it just means he's performing, right? And he's showing folks that he is capable of, you know, all the tools that he was expected to have. He's capable of using all of them. So it's definitely a positive. And I don't think it's necessarily a knock on Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith whatsoever. It's just a matter of the way the White Sox and in the minor league organizations are using those pitchers right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with one, neither one of those guys have ever gone the length that a minor league system or minor league season is up until this year. And two, you know, if you look at, we've talked about this in the past, if you look at what's happening throughout the organization and the amount of Tommy Johns that occurred early on this year, a lot of guys are going to be on pitch counts next year. So do we really want to stretch these arms out so much this year that we're going to put ourselves in a bad place next year? And I think you're going to see a handful of these guys in the Arizona League as well. So you might as well limit the innings now. They're going to keep pitching in the fall. You might even see a couple of guys. Now, I don't think it's going to be like, you know, top five, six, seven guys, but you might even see a couple guys in the winter leagues as well too. Just kind of get things dialed in. I know some organizations work under the philosophy that the way to keep pitchers healthy is to actually have them throwing almost every day, even if it's just light catch in between, you know, bullpens and you know, fall and winter league games. And I don't know if the White Sox have adopted that as of recently, but I would guess that a lot of that has to, you know, is there's at least some of that going on when you look at what's happening with the top pitchers in their system right now. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, I guess that was just a long way to say it's I'm okay with Brayden Montgomery working his way up to the number one position in the farm system because it just means he's doing good things.
Yeah, right.
So, speaking of pitching, you know, obviously we've been talking a little bit about this four-man rotation and what's been going on with the starters. And, you know, we're probably going to stretch the bullpen thin if this continues to happen. So my question to you tonight, Jacob, is how long do you think that continues before they call somebody up or we get somebody back? And who do you think is next in line to get a start that is not already part of the rotation? Or is somebody coming back?
My guess would be Martin Perez, who pitched today out of the bullpen. I don't know how he's back. I swear he tore his meniscus, or unless I'm thinking of somebody else. But he had a wicked injury that I had sworn was season ending. And then I'm kind of, you know, I was keeping track of it and boom, he's back today. So, yeah, I mean, that'd be my guess because, I mean, I don't know who they have to call up. You know, I know Tanner's mentioned here, but he's still not even in Charlotte. So
I don't think he needs to go to Charlotte. I think he's ready.
You think they're bringing him up?
I don't know if they're bringing him up, but I personally would love to see him get a couple of starts and see what happens. Dude's filthy. He's been pitching lights out. And
Tyler Gilbert was the meniscus, by the way. I figured I put myself through that.
Davis Martin was a... God, what the hell was it? He was an arm injury, wasn't he?
Yeah, what did Martin Perez do?
Martin Perez, sorry. I'm going to get on... What the hell? Can't...
Oh, flexor strain. Which just sounds like Tommy John. I don't know. In my mind, that was Tommy John done for the year. But glad to see he's back.
Yeah, so I'm guessing... Yeah, and he only made two rehab starts in AAA Charlotte and AA Birmingham. So, like, I'm going to guess that he's going to pitch out of the bullpen for a little bit before they put him in a starting role. Because flexor strain, I mean, yeah, that's in the elbow, dude. You've got an elbow injury. And like you said, that's one of those things where it feels like, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel good in... I think I personally, I don't know, man. I'm on the Tanner McDougal bus. I don't care if he hasn't pitched in. Oh. So Toss says base loaded, no outs for Braden.
I think Duncan Davitt is another guy to watch. He was a guy I think we were kind of looking at as a guy who potentially was MLB ready. After being brought over in the Adrian Hauser deal, as my computer just is,
breaking.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys heard me through that. So yeah, like he makes a lot of sense. Our old friend Mike Clevenger, friend, I do not mean literally. Our old enemy. Enemy is a better word.
I think they're doing Mike everything Clevenger. They can to stay away from him at this point.
To not bring him up, yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, for one, he's not pitching awesome. I mean, he's been serviceable, but like that's about it. And two, why would you do back-to-back bullpen games and use a guy like...
Oh, he's been bad. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Martin Perez.
That's MLB.
And... The thing is like there's been opportunity to bring him up and they haven't. So I just feel like he's a body to take up space down in the minor leagues. He's like a last resort kind of guy, I think, at this point.
Agree.
I think his favors with the team ran out. And the closest favor he was going to get was, here's a minor league contract, bro. And, you know, we'll see. I don't know.
Literally. No, but I mean, he's a name to watch, right? If you're going to bring somebody up. But Duncan Davitt would be my name. I think Tanner makes a lot of sense. But I'm going to guess it's Martin Perez whenever he's ready to go. Also, I'm not really sure what they're doing with... the frisbee thrower they threw the other night, because that was impressive. That was fun. Shout out Yoandris Gomez. That dude could spin it.
Yeah, he was slinging it.
I don't know if he's going to be a regular starter. I don't know. Obviously they stretched him out in Charlotte. If he's here to stay, I'm not going to complain because, he was fun to watch.
I think he's probably going to be more reliever, if anything, or maybe like use him as a starter for an inning or two, at least
long relief.
I don't even know if he's gonna get long relief because I think in the systems that he came from, was he getting like full starts? I think he was pitching in relief mostly, was he not? I think he had one start, maybe.
He only made one start coming in the majors before last year.
Before coming here, yeah. So, I don't know. Was that?
I don't know about the minors. But I know he was pitching in a starter role in Charlotte. I do know that.
Yeah, so I just don't know if that's sustainable. But who knows, man? I don't really know much about the guy. Other than, you know, watching him open up that game the other day, that first inning was impressive.
Yeah.
It was absolutely impressive. I think he only threw like 11 or 12 pitches in the first inning and struck out the side. So, like, kudos to you on that. Against a tough Tigers lineup.
I think we're thinking of two different players.
Oh, no. I'm getting him confused with Gomez.
Elvis Paguero, yeah.
Gomez
was the guy who went five innings.
Yeah, Paguero. You're right. Paguero was the one that only went an inning and a third or inning two thirds.
Yeah.
But the first inning was massively impressive.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I was getting the two mixed up.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, the Sox honestly have some very interesting bullpen options going forward. You know, Iriarte, I think, is ready to come back up. Obviously, you have Peyton Paulette. I love Wickelman Gonzalez. So
me too.
And then, you know, you add that to kind of what they already have. You know, I mentioned this after the trade deadline, like they can bring the entire bullpen back next year for arbitration. So I would expect a lot of moves to be made in the offseason in that bullpen. Cause I mean, you still have an entirely good bullpen. I mean, legitimately. And then you're bringing back Prelander Baroa next year. He'll be back from Tommy John. I mean, it's going to be interesting that the bullpen has went from a major weakness to almost the strength of this team over the matter of like 3 months, which has been fun to watch.
Indeed. And a lot of options, yeah. A lot of options that you can kind of move guys around, that have been pretty solid for the most part. Jordan Leisure has been a kind of a roller coaster up and down. When he's on, whew, man, a lot of fun to watch. When he's off, not so much. Right. It was exactly the comp I was going to make. When Bummer was on, it was really, really fun to watch. But, man, when he stunk it up. He got lit. I mean, you know, just he liked to give up the long ball. So, you know.
A hanging slider, just middle.
Oh, maddening. Absolutely maddening. I can literally
see
that.
Then the next outing just strikes out the sides on the just from one batter box to the other on a just disgusting slider.
There's
and then the next outing, middle slider.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Or can't find the zone.
That was the other thing. That was his biggest issue, I think, was command. If he had his command, it was spectacular. No command, forget it. It was over. Like you knew it within the first three pitches when he came into a ball game. You were just like, oh, here we go. You know, if he wasn't hitting his spot in his first three pitches, it was donezo.
Yeah.
So there's a comment in the chat that I can't agree with more, and it's unfortunate because I did have high hopes for Jonathan Cannon. And I love the dude, you know, again, another guy who has probably got all the talent in the world and just can't seem to put it all together. He's having his struggles right now, and you know, I hope he figures it out because he's an easy guy to like, but right now he's an easy guy to not see, pitching for you. It's been tough for him. So, you know, I hope all the best for him. I hope he figures it out and puts it all together. But for right now, I do not wish to see him pitching, at least in the minor. Excuse me, goodness gracious, on the major league ball club. So, yeah, let's not talk about the Bummer trade.
To be fair, Aaron Bummer isn't like lighting. It's not the Andrew Vaughn trade, which. Really don't want to talk about that trade.
You know what? I don't care about that trade. Honestly, I don't have any issue with it whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, it wasn't a bad trade for Getz. Like, it was the trade made sense. It reminds me a lot of the Kopech trade where, like, guys are going to go back on that and be like, oh, he was always, But it's like, yeah, Kopech wasn't listening to his coaches here. And Vaughn wasn't listening to his coaches here either. I mean, that was, like, evident.
Yeah, I mean, like, if any
hold
of this...
the ball in the air more.
If any of the stuff about his work ethic was true, which, I mean, we've heard it from some pretty good sources here. You know, we have some former players and coaches that like to check in with us here at Future Sox. We will remain nameless at the moment. Yeah, I mean, guys that were in the dugout with him check in with us once in a while. We'll have some off-the-record chats. And the word on the streets with him is he just wasn't the best team player. You know, when it came time for workouts in the spring, you know, guys would show up early. He'd be there, you know, at the absolute last minute to report. And then when it came time for, you know, BP and workouts and whatnot, he'd come in, do the bare minimum, and then, like, leave. While guys are, like, working it out and trying to, you know, figure things out and be in the best game shape possible for when the season starts, he was the guy who would do the bare minimum and then hit the golf course. Yeah. You know, so I don't really know what kind of attitude he has. Apparently he was liked in the locker room, in the clubhouse, but there were guys in the minor leagues that were like, this guy's a bum. And really didn't, you know, I guess had a little bit of a prima donna kind of attitude. And, you know, for whatever reason, he's finding success in Milwaukee. And, you know, the word is they sent him down to their AAA affiliate for a while and they tweaked his swing. I don't really know. But, you know, Ryan Fuller is finding some success with guys here that we were not getting success out of before. So I don't know how much of that is on Andrew Vaughn or, you know, how much of it is on the White Sox development team. But whatever it is he's doing in Milwaukee seems to be working for him. But the other thing is since he's been gone, this White Sox team has been producing more. So is there a correlation to that? Maybe it's just coincidence. I don't really know. I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was a spot for him here anymore, and that's that. I mean, you let him do what he's doing.
No, he was never going to do what he's doing in Milwaukee here.
Like, right, was, let him do it, and some let guys him just, be. Go ahead.
Listen, some guys just get touched by the voice of Uecker and, you know, turn into Jesus.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, he was a stud when the Sox picked him up. He had some very limited time in the minor leagues. They brought him up and maybe they, you know, maybe it just goes back to them doing him the disservice of playing him in the outfield.
Yeah.
For a while before giving them the everyday, you know, first base position. Maybe he was just discontented, malcontented and never really recovered from that. I don't know. I'm happy to see him succeed. You know, obviously yeah, what he's doing is pretty phenomenal, but there just wasn't a place for him here. And, you know, I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, and somebody brought this up on Twitter, and I don't remember who, and I apologize, but they were like, you know, if you were to trade Andrew Vaughn for Savali, Shane Smith, Adrian Hauser, Tyler Alexander, like all the guys we've gotten from the Brewers, like I think you'd still make that trade. You know, like we've got some really quality pieces from the Brewers, not through trades, but like just randomly picking off their pile.
Yeah, it was Kansas City last year.
Yeah.
You know, the second half of the year before, and now it's the Brewers.
Yeah. So that's a good point. I kind of want to hit on the chat real quick. We were talking about relievers, and 13 Doveman brings up, if any of those relief pitchers, you know, if you think this bullpen's going to be as good as it is, would you trade Grant Taylor for a Mason Miller-like package? The answer is yes for me. Like if you're getting a top five prospect in baseball back for him, yes.
That's tough. And then David, I mean, I would say yes, but at the same time, like, oh, Grant Taylor might be our guy.
Agree, but like if you're going to get a top five, like Jesus Mate, Sebastian Walcott, Weatherholt, like I think those impact hitters.
If I can get a Weatherholt, because I wanted them to draft him day one, like I wanted him in the draft. I wanted J.J. Weatherholt bad.
Yeah.
That was my guy. I guess. So considering and the way the question in the chat is worded, I would have to say yeah too, honestly, because I do feel like we probably have one or two guys in the system right now who can fill a closer role. The only thing is I think the only way to be able to get a trade package like that to work is you have to sell Grant as a starter. Like, are you going to be able to get that kind of package for him as just a closer reliever type?
Well, the whole Mason Miller thing is like they're going to use him. The thought was like Preller's going to turn him back into a starter. Like the Padres are going to move him back into a starter role. That's why he got so much. And I think if you're a team, right, you're like looking and you're like, yeah, you can do the same thing with Grant Taylor.
Yeah, I think that's the only way that works is to sell him as a guy who can be a filthy starter right. for you. But I mean, honestly, if that kind of package comes together for the White Sox and you're Chris Getz, I would say probably 90% of the time you're going to take that deal.
Yeah.
Especially on a team that needs bats and doesn't want to spend a whole lot of money in free agency. At least it has never wanted to spend a lot of free agent money in the past on a bat. So I don't know if that's going to change now with Ishbia in the picture. We know that he's going to inject some money into the organization somewhere at some point. When? I don't know. Where? I don't know. A lot of folks seem to think that this $12 million upgrade budget down in the Dominican is where he's throwing some money, you know, in the new facility that they're, or at least the, I don't know if it's a brand new, completely new facility, but the overhaul of their Dominican facility. Who knows? But I would like to think at some point he's going to say, hey, you know what, Jerry, I'm sorry, the way you've been doing things for the last 40 plus years is wrong, and we need to inject some life into the lineup itself at the MLB club, and I need to protect my investment. But I don't know when that's going to be or how soon it's going to be. But yeah, if you can get some minor league bats in a trade like that, I'll take it.
I agree. Agree.
So I'm going to go back in the chat a little bit. And I'm going to go toss springs up. Have you had an opportunity to see this reel? Our very own Ian Eskridge actually was the one that clipped this highlight. And everybody and their brother has now stolen it and used it. We got guys that I've never heard of putting it out as reels on TikTok and Instagram and everywhere else. And, you know, all the... Baseball of America is using it on their Twitter stream, and everybody is just stolen this thing where in a game there was a balk called while George Walkall was in the batter's box. Have you seen this?
Yeah. Didn't he goes to call timeout, right?
And no.
And doesn't get it?
That's where the people who stole the reel and the clip got it wrong. He actually did not go to call timeout. There was a balk called as the pitcher went into the windup, and George was about to step out of the box. But the pitcher went ahead and delivered, and the rule of a balk is if the pitcher delivers, the ball is still can be in play. It's not a balk until, when a balk is called, it's a dead ball after the catcher gets it. So if it's called during the motion and the pitcher delivers the ball, the batter can still take a swing at it. It's not a dead ball until after the catcher catches the ball and the umpire signals dead ball. Balk was called, I believe, by the infield umpire, the second base umpire. So you won't actually see it in that clip from the home plate umpire. So George kind of drops the bat and starts to walk out of the box and realizes the pitch is coming in and just says, whatever, screw it, and flips the bat at it one-handed, you know, and punches it through in the right field for an RBI single. So, yeah, pretty wild stuff. If you guys have not seen that, you must be living under a rock. But I do suggest checking out our Twitter feed or our YouTube channel. It is there. Ian, our very own Ian Eskridge, is the one responsible for that clip flying around, just so you know. He's the one that cut that clip, and everybody else stole it from him. So
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. All right, David. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for checking in. We'll see you next week. I'm going to go back to a couple other comments here.
Shout out to the chat tonight, by the way. You guys have been active. It's been fun. It's more fun when you guys talk.
Wolf checking in. Thanks for checking in. One of our regulars. Longtime listener. Every time chatter. Appreciate you. Dove Man. I'm going to go back to him real quick. And he says he can't believe they dropped Welko down. He likes Jaden Foskey, but is he that much better than Welko already? Whose ceiling is higher? You want to talk about that a little bit, Jacob, real quick? We're at the hour mark here, but we'll get into hot takes and heaters momentarily. But I figured that's actually a question worth discussing for a quick moment.
Yeah, I mean, Welko got dropped to 11, but like I feel like guys just – I don't know if my issue is necessarily with Foskey being over him, but like Kyle Lodice being over him. No offense to Kyle Lodice. I'm not trying to throw shade here, but like – I don't know. Like, there's still a chance that, like, George Welko is Aaron Judge. Like, that's still in there. Like, there's legitimate chance, right? I mean, yeah, I get it. The dude's got a 650 OPS right now. Like, not hitting the ball and well. He's also 19
years old. That's exactly why. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about him. I think, but, like, the ceiling on him is just through the roof. Now, the floor is also very low. Like, he's the biggest swing or miss prospect, but, like, boy, if you hit on him, you hit hard. So yeah, I don't know. Like a guy like Lodice, to me though, like I think his upside is like, you know, a utility man. Whereas with Welko, I think Aaron Judge is like a legitimate outcome for him. Maybe not Judge, but like close to Judge. So yeah, that's my thought on that.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly why I think it answers the question perfectly, is the fact that George, despite his age, I think had some expectations put on him that might have been a little high for his age. You know, don't forget that he was a high schooler and never played the length of season that he's playing now, anywhere close to the length of season that he's playing now. And, he's got a potential to maybe not be the best hitter. Obviously, the biggest thing about George Welko has always been in power, right? His size, he's just a large human, right? Intimidatingly large. When you compare him to most of the guys he's playing against. And because of that and the power numbers, I think people expected more early on. But like you said, he's only 19 years old. And if he's not hitting bombs, he's not doing much else. So I don't have an issue with him dropping to where he is. And he's still got plenty of time to move back up those ranks if he figures some things out, obviously. You know, like you said, he could be an Aaron Judge. He could be a guy who's a DH that he doesn't have a position on the field because, you know, defensively he hasn't been exactly stellar either. He hasn't been awful, but he hasn't been super fantastic. He's going to move down. And as guys are coming in, guys with potentially higher ceilings are going to get the benefit of the doubt at the moment when, you know, you're as big as George is. And like you said, only has a 650 OPS. So, and there's the other thing, reclassified.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we're a little over an hour in here. I think we're going to wrap it up here tonight. So, hot takes and heaters. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out to the chat. If you guys got them, get them in quick, and we'll throw them out. But, Jacob, you want to give us a hot take or a heater to wrap it up, put a bow on it?
Yeah, let's give a heater to Lenin Sosa. On an absolute tear right now. I'll give a hot take that Colson Montgomery, I don't know if this is a hot take anymore. I don't think it is. Leads the team in home runs by the end of the year. despite being called up on the 4th of July.
I, you know what? I don't think that's a hot take, but I think it's a great take, and I'll go with it. Here's my I wouldn't necessarily call it a hot, maybe spicy take, but I believe Colson Montgomery gets to the required at-bats and service time to qualify and has a really good shot at being the AL Rookie of the Year, despite not being called up until early July.
Yeah, what's Nick Kurtz doing? Is he still mashing baseballs?
He is.
Jesus. Yeah, my God. All right, maybe runner up for Colson.
I still think if Nick Colson Kurtz does get... Yeah, he's doing some things. But I think Colson might edge him out in the second half here. I don't know. Just me. I'm just saying there's a chance. It's a hot. We'll see. It's not spicy, but it's my hot take. It's a little hot.
I think it's
You think it's spicy?
Nick Kurtz is
he's crushing.
By the way, you cannot say that name very fast. Dude's mashing the baseball.
He is indeed. Toss, is that a hot take? Because I don't know if that's all that hot. I think we might actually see Sam Antonacci. And we talked about this pre-show about maybe getting into what happens when rosters expand. But you know, it's kind of early. We were gonna give our earliest predictions, but we're running a little over here, so I think we'll probably save it next week as we get a little bit closer to that point anyway. But yeah, I mean, if you guys in the chat want to discuss that and be prepared for it next week, I think we probably will get into early takes and early thoughts on what roster expansion looks like. So,
All right.
One last hot take for 13 Dove Man. Hot take, Gerald Perez is Caleb Bonaber without all the hype. You know what? I'll take it.
I don't know about that, but
I mean, you know, Gerald Perez, I think, has an opportunity to rise quickly. And I think the hype will probably come when that happens.
Still only 20 years old.
He is indeed. William Bergoa is a better hitter than Sam Antonacci. Oof.
Strongly disagree.
I don't know about strongly. I think they could be similar numbers wise.
Are we talking strictly hit tool there, or what are we talking? Because
Bergoya, well, yeah, I mean the power numbers aren't going to be the same, right? That's for sure. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's definitely something to think about. But all right, I think we're going to leave it there. Unless you got anything else you want to throw out there. All right, buddy. Well, first off, let me say congratulations again to you on the new job. If I'm able to get it, or maybe you can shoot us a link on the old Twitter through.
Oh, it'll be up there.
Internet link where we can listen in. We would be absolutely thrilled to show some support. If you ever open up the phone lines and I'm listening, I'm calling in, buddy.
Oh, they'll be open. Heck, I think I'm even going live on, like, I think I'm going to try to get, like, Facebook Live, TikTok Live.
Right on. Right on. And if you're ever looking for a guest to come on, I'm available. So.
That's good.
Just saying. Anyways, so good luck, and we wish you the best there. Thank you to everybody in our chat. You guys are awesome. Always checking in with us, always keeping us rolling, always keeping us on our toes, especially with some of these hot takes and heaters. Blank Name.
I don't know who Blank Name is, but I believe you.
Blank Name. He's been around for a while. We haven't seen him in a little bit, a few weeks here, but Blank Name's been a regular of ours for a couple of years now, and his hot take is he's a better hitter than Jake Omaya, and that's not hot at all. That's a pretty freezing cold take, actually. Because I think most folks are better hitters than Jacob Amaya. But anyway, again, thank you to all our chatters. We really appreciate it. A reminder, if you guys are in the chat with us live and you are enjoying the content, our super chats are open. We will highlight all of your super chats. I think in the future, we're going to come up with some fun ways to do some things with the super chat as well. But any and all super chat donations are appreciated. You can find all of our videos here on YouTube and the Purple app. And, you know, if you so are inclined, you can also go on our website at www.futuresox.net and you can subscribe to get our exclusive content. It's a $2 Patreon donation every month. Extremely cheap, less than the cup of Starbucks coffee to get the inside scoop. Like I said, we do actually communicate with some so-called experts. We got some BB Ref guys checking with us. We got some former players and coaches checking with us. All good stuff. Our guys are well informed, so that exclusive stuff is well written and well received. The other thing is you don't want to throw some money at us. That's fine. We understand. Support us by smashing that like button, subscribe, hit that bell to receive notification reminders anytime we or any of our other shows go live. You can find Ian and James on the Future Sox podcast weekly, as well as the roundup with Jeff, Elijah, and not Dylan, not Cease, pardon me. It is Dylan, but it's not Cease. So yeah, you guys can check them out as well. Again, we appreciate you. As always, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, Jacob. I hope you have a wonderful week. And until next time, go White Sox.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.